We have Bible classes for all of our kids. We want to dismiss them at this time. Our young ones, 0 to 3 years old, stay in this building. All of our other kids through sixth grade are dismissed to the Family Life Center. This is the last Sunday of this quarter, and so some of the teachers that have been teaching the last 3 months are going to switch out. So if you have a kid in one of our Bible classes, make it a point today or this week, give them a text or just give them a hug, pat on the back. Let them know how grateful you are that they are investing their time in teaching your kids. What a great blessing it is to tell people that in this world where there's so much evil, there's so much confusion, that God is on his throne and that God loves us and he's calling us to be agents of peace and compassion in this world. What a great thing. So thank you to all of our teachers. We also recognize that there are times in life where we just need someone to pray with. Our elders are here for you, so if you have that need, a couple of our elders and their wives will be out in the hallway to my left as you exit the auditorium. So if you have any need, our elders are here for you. Well, it's been reflected in our service today, certainly. It's been a hard week with the shootings down in South Texas, and I know many of us are just grappling with that. Add to that, earlier this month, some more senseless killing up in Buffalo, New York. We see on the news shortages and baby formula. We see inflation. A lot of things going on. It's almost made us forget about a war in Ukraine. Add that to the mix. And then even this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, it's a great weekend. We're so grateful for those men and women that have served this country throughout the years and have given their lives. But even Memorial Day weekend reminds us that this world seems to be constantly at war and people giving their lives for causes. So it's been quite a year, hasn't it? Add to that, this pandemic just won't seem to let go. And add to that, all of our own personal concerns. We have our own worries day to day, our families, our jobs, our finances. So it's been quite a decade so far, hasn't it? You know, I'm wondering how history will look back at the 2020s. Things have been a little chaotic. Last summer, I was in Lubbock, Texas, and I got to worship at the Green Lawn Church of Christ. Always a joy and a pleasure for me to be on your side of the podium. So I got to hear a sermon by the preacher there, Dale Mannin. And he was beginning a series called Cries of Desperation. And so I was very, very touched and moved by this sermon. So I followed that along as that sermon series unfolded. And so right then and there, I said, hey, this is something that I need, and perhaps the Park Avenue Church needs as well. So I want to credit Dale Mannin, the Green Lawn Church of Christ. Of course, I'm taking these sermons and fitting them to our particular time and particular place. But I want to give credit where credit is due. There are times when we feel overwhelmed with what God has commissioned us to do. There are times when we find our faith being questioned, or we wonder what in the world is going on. So even as believers, don't we get frustrated, we get confused, and we get overwhelmed at times, and so we cry out in desperation. You know, I thought about this sermon, Cries of Desperation. You know, it sounds pretty bleak, and it is. I mean, let's not bury our heads in the sand. This is a desperate world that we live in. But I want to look at a couple of things. There's a positive spin to this as well as we entered into this series. Number one, as we grapple with life and our responsibility as disciples and just how this world seems so broken, I want us to know that we are in good company. I mean, people have been crying out in desperation to God ever since people have known God and lived in this world, ever since the fall. People have been crying out in desperation. So as we go through this, we are in good company. Then another positive thing here is I've noticed in my life, and it seems to be true in the lives of other people, that sometimes it's only when we are in these desperate situations that we actually do something to change. Sometimes it takes us being overwhelmed. Sometimes it takes these situations in life to wake us up and to say, hey, something has got to be different. I need to be doing something different. And so in these cries of desperation, we don't want to stay in that desperation. We want to see how God can move us to do something better, how we can understand him more, how we can rely on him more. And these cries of desperation can actually lead us to a place that we've never been before, to these good places. All right, cry of desperation number one. Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. You can follow along on the app also if you want to follow along with the sermon notes. But we're going to be in Judges chapter 6, and particularly looking at the story of one of the judges whose name was Gideon. Let me just put this in a historical perspective. This is about 200-300 years after the time of the Exodus that we just finished looking at. The people of Israel have come into the land under Joshua. They've conquered the land. They've driven out many of the nations, not all of the nations, but there they are. They are now in the land of promise. But during the period of Judges, we see that these neighboring nations, these pagan nations, I mean, they just keep infiltrating and oppressing the people of God, this family of Abraham. The time of the Judges is a time of rebellion. People are not following God. They're not being obedient to God. And so God sends these nations in to oppress them. And then they cry out in desperation to God, God, rescue us. And then God sends one of these judges. And these judges are more like military heroes that come in. Usually they're people of faith that come in and rescue God's people from the oppressing nations. And as the people turn back to God, they experience this period of blessing, but then they fall into that same cycle, and we see that over and over in the time of the judges. And so Gideon is one of those judges, and he's living in one of those times of oppression. And at this point in time, the nation that is oppressing the people of God are the Midianites. So much so that Gideon and the Jews, they're living in the mountains. I mean, they don't even feel safe at home. The Midianites are coming in, and they're ravaging the fields. They're taking their animals. And so the people of Israel are basically out hiding in the mountains and in the caves just to escape the oppression of the Midianites. And so let's look first at Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. An angel of the Lord is going to appear to Gideon. And look what he says to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I love Gideon's response. Pardon me, my Lord? And here's the cry of desperation. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Were all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? Where are all of those? It seems now that the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. So Gideon is saying, God, I want some answers. You know, aren't you the God who's done these great things? Didn't you deliver our people from the land of Egypt? Didn't you promise to bless us, that we would be this nation that would be blessed? So how does Gideon respond to this? What is Gideon supposed to do? And as we look through this story, as it plays out, I want us to see that perhaps there are some things that Gideon is told that we can apply to our lives when we are crying out in desperation as well. So let's see how the story plays out. Number one, what God tells Gideon is, first of all, you need to look introspectively. You need to look at yourself. Judges 6, 7 through 10. This was before the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Before that, God had sent a prophet to the Israelites, an unnamed prophet. And this is what the prophet says in verse 8. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered you from the hand of all of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But then look at that last sentence. But you have not listened to me. Isn't it so easy for us to remember the promises of God, but to forget our obligation to God? These people have been obedient to God. In fact, the very last verse of the book of Judges offers this summary statement of this period in history. In those days, Israel had no king. Then listen, all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. in your cries of desperation, and this is what God tells us, Gideon may be saying this to us as well, when we complain, perhaps we need to start looking introspectively and say to ourselves, how am I contributing to the chaos that is in my world? Proverbs 14 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So the question is, am I living obedient to God? Am I doing what God has told me to do? Or am I following my own plans? And sometimes the answer is this simple. Sometimes we live in chaos because we've been disobedient to God. Now, I'm not saying that's the only answer. I mean, the problem of evil and suffering is very, very complex. It's very, very difficult. But one of the answers is that maybe I'm doing something. Maybe I'm living in disobedience to God, and therefore I'm reaping the consequences of a person living in disobedience to God. And so when I complain, one response should be, am I contributing to this pain? Why don't we do this? Because it's easier to be mad at God and blame God than for us to start taking responsibility. So ask yourself these questions. You know, why is my marriage so messed up? Why is my marriage in trouble? What's going on? Why is this just terrible? How am I contributing to that? Am I living in obedience to God, or am I following my own plans? Why is my work situation so chaotic? Why is everything so bad? Why is everything a mess? Why do I hate going to work? Why do I hate everyone at work? Well, one response is to let's look introspectively. How am I contributing to that chaos? Why are my finances so messed up? Why do I never have any money? Why is everything just always dollar to dollar, penny to penny? Well, one of the reasons maybe I'm living in disobedience to God. Maybe I need to look at my own life. Why am I so anxious? Why am I so worried about everything? Am I constantly looking at this world? Am I putting my hope in this world? Or am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Now, that's not the only answer, but certainly God says to Gideon, you know what one of the problems is? You guys have just been disobedient. And that's why you are suffering. And so when we grapple with all the chaos in our world, one of the answers, again, not the only one, I don't want to make it this easy, but one of the answers is maybe we've deserted faith in God. And so as I look back, not just at our own lives, let's just look back and look at this world. I mean, it's clear to see there are fewer and fewer people who have faith in God. There are fewer and fewer people who believe in absolute truth. There are fewer and fewer people who are going to church. One of the responses I hear God telling me as I look at this broken, crazy world and all of the terrible things that's happened, he's saying, this is what a godless world looks like. But let's take this personally as well. Perhaps some of the chaos in my life is my own fault. And this is one of the reasons why the leadership is calling you to this self-evaluation. Are you really living in obedience to God? Are you seeking first his kingdom? All right, first response, how am I contributing to the chaos? Second response that God has for Gideon, once you've identified your contribution to the chaos, you have to do something about it. And that's exactly what happens in Judges chapter 6, 25 through 27. That same night, the angel of the Lord says, you need to make a sacrifice to God, and then you need to go into your father's backyard. In Gideon's father's backyard, there's a shrine to two of the leading Canaanite deities, pagan deities, to Baal and Asherah. And he says, you've got to do something about that. And so Gideon is told to go in, make that sacrifice, and then tear down this altar. You've got to take some action. Well, Gideon realizes that's not going to be the most popular thing, and so he does it at night, but he does do it. And he knows he's going to take some heat. In fact, he does take some heat. The people in the village say, hey, they go to his father. What's his name? Joash? Is that? I didn't write in my notes here. Gideon's father, he says, man, look what your son's doing. We've got to kill him. Gideon's father does defend him and says, hey, if Baal's such a great God, let Baal contend for himself. In fact, Gideon's going to get another name. Let Baal contend for himself. You've got to take some action. You've got to do something. You've got to make the changes. Look what James says in James chapter 1, 22 through 24. He says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I'll speak for myself. I'm good at complaining, but not so good at acting. Maybe you are somewhat like me in that as well. These cries of desperation can be a blessing to us only if they spur us on to take some action. And so what sin in your life is creating chaos in your life, and are you willing to do something about it? Are you selfish? Do you give yourself over to anger? Are you addicted? Are you neglecting the word of God? Are you neglecting worship? Are you not serving? So I thought maybe you might need a help, some help in identifying some sins, and Paul is gracious enough to give us a little list in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 24. He says, these are the acts of the flesh. These are the things that are robbing you from experiencing the kingdom of God. And so here he lays it out. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And I wish they were more obvious in our world than what they are. But Paul says, these things should be obvious. Sexual immorality. Are you giving yourself into sexual immorality? You're robbing yourself of the peace of God. Impurity. Do you have evil thoughts? You're doing evil things with your mind. Debauchery. You're just giving yourself to whatever feels good. Idolatry. Are you looking for something else or someone else to do what only God can do for you? Witchcraft. Well, we may not have witchcraft, but are we looking at some other spiritual forces out there that are going to provide for us? Hatred. Are you living in hatred? Discord. You're always trying to tear people apart. Are you living in jealousy? Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Factions. Envy. You're always wanting more. Drunkenness. Are you giving yourself over to alcohol? Orgies. Are you giving yourself into sexual pleasure? And he says, I could go on. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What are some sins in your life? You've got to act on those things. Later on in Galatians 6, he says, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you reap towards the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. So look introspectively. Make those changes. It may be risky, but you've got to make those changes. Number three, God has some real work to do on Gideon, because Gideon really doesn't believe that he can do much of anything. And sometimes we as individuals and as a church may fall into that same category. Number three, you've got to believe that you can bring positive change to this world. You've got to believe that you and us working together can bring positive change to this world. I love Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, where the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Wow, what an introduction. Gideon, you are a mighty warrior, and I think he wants to say that to every one of us. I am a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior. On the count of three, I want you to say, I am a mighty warrior. One, two, three. I am a mighty warrior. Let's do it again. One, two, three. I am a mighty warrior. What does Gideon do when God says through this angel of the Lord, you are a mighty warrior? He starts making excuses, just like Moses did, just like so many people do, just like you and I do. Look at verse 15. Gideon says, pardon me, Lord? Pardon me? How can I save Israel? Here come the excuses. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. We're just a little tribe, and I'm the least in my family. I love that. Pardon me? Are you talking to me? It's almost as if Gideon is looking behind him. Is there someone else in this room that you're talking to? And God has to deal with this with Gideon over and over and over again, these doubts that he has. But God is so patient. Gideon needs his convincing. You may have heard the story. Gideon is that guy who he's about ready to go into this battle against the Midianites. He's really not sure that God is going to be with him. And so he does the fleece trick. He takes the fleece. He puts it on the ground. He says, God, in the morning, let the fleece be full of dew and the ground be dry. And then I'll really believe in God. All right, I'll do it. That's not the text. I'm just I'm just thinking how God must feel with us having all these doubts. God does that, and then Gideon turns around and he does the opposite. All right, this time, God, if I'm going to put this fleece out, and when I wake up in the morning, may it be dry and the rest of the ground be wet. I think I may have those backwards. I'm not sure. But God does that again. Now, this is not a good model for us to use. I don't recommend putting the fleece out. But I think it shows us how God can even use excuse-making, sign-demanding doubters to do great things. We have got to believe that we can make a difference in this world. And you know why you can believe that? Because not only are you a mighty warrior, but the only reason why you are a mighty warrior is the Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. On the count of three, I want you to say, the Lord is with me. One, two, three. The Lord is with me. Again, one, two, three. The Lord is with me. There's another element of the story, and you may be familiar with this as well. God whittles down the army, the size of Gideon's army. He has, I think, 32,000 to start with. And God says, you know, I think that's too many. I think it's too many because if you win this battle, then you may think that you have won this battle, and I want you to be sure that it's only through my power that you have won this battle. So for 32,000, he whittles it down to what is it, to 10,000, and then from 10,000, he whittles it down to only 300 men, but they go into that battle, and they win. Meanwhile, the Midianite army is described as being as thick as locusts. Their camels could not be numbered. They were more than the sand on the seashore, and with 300 men, God is going to win this battle against Midian. We have the power with God behind us to enact positive change in this world. And even when you may seem helpless, as we so often do, God can use you. Even if when it seems like your part is small, God can use what you do. And let me tell you, people, what this church is doing together, we are making a difference in this world. Christians are making a difference in this world. And in our despair, we've got to believe that, and we cannot give up. We can't give up. God is using us. God is using you. He's using you when you write a note, when you send a text, when you teach a class, when you sponsor the youth, when you keep on being generous, when you provide a meal, when you work at Barnabas, when you help with the college ministry, when you help with CTW, when you stand up for what is right, when you speak up against what is evil. God is using you. The angel of the Lord in Judges 6, verse 14, he says to Gideon, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength that you have. And I'll save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? In our cries of desperation, we cannot stop doing what is good. Judges 6:16. The Lord answered, I will be with you. As we go through this series, and as we just think about this whole concept of evil and suffering and all of those things, a lot of times we won't get the why, but maybe our greatest need is not knowing why, but knowing that we have someone who is walking beside us. Let's pray. Our Father, we are oppressed. We are beaten down. We are weary. We live in an evil world. Father, even in our own lives, we see chaos and confusion. Father, you make all these promises, and so many times we don't feel this abundant life that's been promised to us. But Father, help everyone here right now. Father, as we look at all the chaos in the world, let's just focus on our own lives and say, hey, am I living in obedience to your will? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God. Let's look introspectively, because Father, so many times we contribute to this chaos, we rob ourselves of the abundant life that you promised us because we are just being disobedient. And so, Father, help us to identify those things. Help us to truly look into our own lives. And, Father, help us to see those shrines that just need to be torn down. And, Father, help us even as we live in fear that once we do that, people are going to not like us. There's going to be repercussions. There's going to be all of these consequences. Father, help us to know that there are things in our lives that we just need to eliminate before you can use us and usher in this eternal and blessed, abundant life. Father, we pray that you would just help us to know that because you are with us, that we can do mighty things. And Father, help us in all of the evil not to be blinded to all of the good things that are being done by good people, by each individual here, that you are working through us, you're working through this church, you're working through Christians around the world to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring life. Father, help us to know that we truly are the salt and the light of the world. And so, Father, help us never to give up. Father, I pray for the person right now who is in the midst of desperation. Father, for the person who doesn't know why, for the person who is questioning your goodness, your faith, and your mercy. Father, I pray that that person will know that they're not walking through this season of desperation alone, that you are with them. For Father, you have promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. And Father, even if nothing is resolved in this world, we know that as we continue to walk with you, that one day all evil will be abolished, all tears will be wiped away, and Father, we will live with you forever and ever in the world that you have created to be perfect and in harmony with you. So Father, give us the faith, give us the hope, give us the strength to continue to walk with you. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing.